Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijonne go shavotya, nijonne go shavotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Take back the land again!
Music from the Eastern Eagle Singers off their ABBA record CD entitled Sacred Flight. The name of that song was The Drum. The drum is sacred to indigenous peoples throughout the world. It is our native heartbeat. The Eastern Eagle Singers are Mi'kmaq, one of the four tribal nations of my Wabanaki Confederacy, consisting of the Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Mi'kmaq, and Maliseet. Wabanaki are known as the people of the Dawn Land, the land where the sun first rises on Turtle Island, North America. We are also known as people of the moose, our four-legged relative that sustains us like the buffalo sustained the Great Plains tribal nations. My Penobscot people are also referred to as people of the fast-flowing river. All Wabanaki tribal nations consider each other cousins, united in our Wabanaki Confederacy. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we share an interview with two very fine Native authors, Gabe and Amy Kraut Horn. Their newest book, entitled Transcendence, published by All Things That Matter Press, has just been released in bookstores. Transcendence is also available for purchase on Amazon.com. The book's ISBN number is 978-0-98227-22-9-9. It's copyrighted in 2009. In today's conversation, we will talk about their writings and other important concerns Gabe, Amy, and I care about. Gabe and Amy Kraut Horn are very fine Native writers. Like Yat Kedishi Native Center, Gabe and Amy are concerned about the health of our sacred Mother Earth and the future well-being of all life, now and for future generations. Gabe and Amy's writings are a voice for all of our relations. As we say in my Wabanaki language, Kinonwantakwasin, meaning the great web of life of our biosphere, the animals, plants, trees, birds, insects, fish, and aquatic life, the soil, air, and waters. Gabe and Amy are both close personal friends and colleagues of mine. They serve as advisors to Yat Kedishi Native Center. The three of us are sincerely dedicated to following our ancestral cultural spiritual life ways. We also try to encourage Native youth to carry on our indigenous ceremonies and tribal traditions, which can teach and guide their lives now in the 21st century. Hopefully, our cultural life ways, our Native spirit, will continue long into our future generations. Gabe Horn and I share many similar concerns and experiences. As Native brothers, we have supported the struggle for sovereignty and self-determination of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Gabe and I are college professors. Both of us teach and often speak out about cultural, social, racial, economic, and environmental injustices through our writings, student class assignments, and public presentations. One example I'm proud of is our participation in a symposium on Native Americans in the media. It was hosted by the well-respected journalism center, the Poynter Institute. In years past, both of us defended Native lands and Indian rights as warriors with AIM, the American Indian Movement. Gabe's fine book, Native Heart, An American Indian Odyssey, expresses his time as a teacher in AIM Freedom Schools. Native Heart is required reading by my Florida Gulf Coast University students. It was published by New World Library in 1993. On the 500th anniversary of the pirate and murderer Christopher Columbus, who washed ashore on Native Arawak and Taino homeland in the so-called New World, Gabe and I, along with many other Native American scholar activists, participated in a conference focusing on the true history and legacy of Christopher Columbus. One of the important results of that symposium
was to expose the many years of lies and distorted accounts of Columbus's expeditions by Eurocentric academics and historians. Those of us at the symposium confronted Florida State Museum of Natural History's anthropologists and archaeologists' racist version of the Christopher Columbus conquest. In the year 2000, Gabe and I were part of the Songs for Justice Project, which produced the benefit CD entitled Free Peltier. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices know, Leonard Peltier is a Native American political prisoner. He has been denied justice for 33 years. Leonard's case exemplifies the abuse of the U.S. justice system. The FBI lied, falsified information, threatened witnesses, withheld evidence from the defense, and has produced an incredible public disinformation campaign against Leonard Peltier. Gabe, Amy, and I always defend Leonard Peltier and call for his freedom. Gabe Horn is one of the most prolific writers in Indian Country. I urge our worldwide listeners to also read his other great books. They include the following: a four-book Native People, Native Way series, published in 1992 by Beyond Words Press. The titles are The Native American Book of Change, Book of Knowledge, Book of Life, and Book of Wisdom. They are great lessons for children. I also recommend adults read this four-book series. Ceremony in the Circle of Life, published in 1983 by Raintree Publishers. The Crane, a fiction book published by Christ Woodhouse in 1988. Stellar Sea Cow, a great book for youth, published in 1989 by Crestwood House. The Great Change, a nonfiction published in 1992 by Beyond Words Press. Contemplations of a Primal Mind, published in 1996 by University of Florida Press. The Book of Ceremonies, a Native Way of Honoring and Living the Sacred, published in 2000 by New World Library. Gabe Horn was also the editor of the highly acclaimed book by Harvey Arden and Steve Wall, Wisdom Keepers, Meetings with Native American Spiritual Elders, published in 1990 by Beyond Words Publishers. Amy Kraut Horn, also known as Oehi Akiwin, a traditional Dakota name meaning last word woman, is a very special person. After winning a regional Young Writers Award, Amy attended the University of Iowa, where sadly she lost her eyesight. Undeterred, Amy later went on to earn a bachelor's degree in American Indian Studies and Psychology at the University of Minnesota. Amy Horn was also the first blind teaching assistant at the University of Minnesota's American Indian Studies program. She is proficient in the Native Dakota language. Last year, 2008, Amy was first place winner in the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, Writers Contest for Fiction for her essay, War Pony. Another essay, Quantum Lakota, will soon appear in a text discussing the relationship between scientific theory and Native American thought. As a Native American ecologist, this topic is of special importance to me. The editors of Indian Country selected Amy's work for their upcoming short story anthology. I also would like to mention that I had the privilege to read Amy's recent autobiographical novel, My Father's Blood, being represented by the Bell Free Literary Agency. Last but not least, Amy Horn is currently working on her third novel, Dancing in Concrete Moccasins. I am very, very honored to have interviewed Gabe and Amy previously on a number of Wolf Mountain Radio programs. One of the most listener-appreciated and requested broadcasts is Wolf Mountain Radio's 5-program interview series entitled Native Heart, featuring a conversation with Gabe Horn from 2004. Another Wolf Mountain Radio favorite is the program Thanksgiving Day Blues, where Gabe and I discuss what I term disinformation history. I wish to remind our worldwide listeners that these interview programs and approximately 300 other Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices programs are always available to hear anytime for free on the internet radio station www.radioforall.net. Click on Search by Series, then click letter H to scroll to and click on Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. As I now welcome Gabe and Amy to Wolf Mountain Radio, I would like to read the paragraph they requested I write for their new book, Transcendence. My comments, which appear along with 4 other respected reviewers in the first few pages, are also relevant to each book Gabe and Amy have also written. Quote, Transcendence is a special book that shares indigenous wisdoms that come from the author's native hearts. Each page is like a shell bead of our sacred Quahog clam wampum. When woven together, they provide an important message to all of us during this critical time on Mother Earth. Transcendence is an expression of Inadaziwin, a cultural spiritual way of life as people of Mother Earth. Transcendence is like listening to elders share stories that serve to teach and guide us as we walk our sacred earth journey, unquote. And that was by Ones A. Pritzker, ecologist, journalist, educator, and director of Yad Kiddushin Native Center, which hosts and produces Wolf Mountain Radio. I'd like to now please welcome Gabe and Amy Horn to Wolf Mountain Radio. Gabe, perhaps we can start our conversation by you talking about your recent book, Transcendence.
Well, Ness, it's always a great honor to be with you and to share any time with you. Thank you for this moment to be with my wife and my son. And I have co-authored a book with Amy called Transcendence, The Mystical Journey of a Divine Messenger. And in that book, we have opened it by talking about the different sacred beings that have come to this hemisphere in particular over the course of our human history here, who have brought messages of peace, cultural and spiritual revival, and have helped serve as sort of luminaries in times of darkness. The novel is about a man who is born out of this book, who takes a journey as an older man and distributes stories to the world which Amy has dreamed. And in each of these stories there is a theme about what has happened to our country here, what has happened to our people, and it's his own journey as an elderly person to find meaning in his life.
My friends, in today's program introduction, I tried to mention all of the writings that both of you have done in your literary work up to now. Being back here in your home, Gabe, I am reminded of one publication I forgot to mention. It is your story about a young Native girl in your book, Rainy Door. Would you please tell us about that?
The second book I've done is a children's book called Rainy's Door, and it's based on a story that actually happened when I was a child. I happened across a door, and I used it to float on. Made it a story of an Indian girl who uses it to go to an island where she encounters a type of changing being who is a woman who she sees first as a child and then becomes an elderly person. And the girl is struggling with the idea of what it means to be an Indian in this world and what even happened to her mother. And through the dialogue with this sacred being, she is introduced to the earth as her mother, and so she's never without a mother. She wonders also why people are so cruel. This is the other thing she wonders. What happens is this special being teaches her that the reason people are so cruel is because they no longer love the earth. They don't love the earth as their mother, and they don't regard other life forms as their relatives, and that's why they can be so cruel, not only to other life forms, but to themselves. And then she says, is that what it means to be an Indian? And the woman just tells her at this point in her life that now, yes, for her, that is what she's learning, what it means to be an Indian.
From Lakota singer-songwriter Sissy Goodhouse off her Mekoshe Music CD entitled The Third Circle. The name of that song was Woman's Song. In Native American society, women are highly honored and respected. Our clan mothers guide all aspects of tribal life. Women bring forth new life, raising our future generations. Women are often great healers with vast knowledge of plant medicines. Women's spirit is strong and their dreams are quite respected. In the old times, men did not have the sickness of violence against women. Rather, men loved, cherished, and learned from women. This ethic is very much needed in the world today. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radios, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I have the pleasure to be visiting two dear friends, Gabe and Amy Krauthorn. Gabe and Amy are also among the finest writers in Indian country. Gabe and Amy, I'm interested to hear your views about the publishing world. I am sure as Native authors, writing in a genre that most readers do not have interest in American Indians, and therefore is less profitable to publishers, makes it very difficult to get your writings published. I remember years ago attending an annual convention of the National Booksellers Association, during the time I often reviewed manuscripts about Native American subjects for a publisher I need not name. As I recall, there was only one other American Indian writer besides yourself at the convention. That's a sad reflection of the publishing world. By the way, I stopped doing that work because most of the authors back then were non-Native, whose writings were at times inaccurate or even wrong. In addition, many of those manuscripts were written from a Eurocentric perspective, perpetuating stereotypes. I feel it is most important to have Indigenous topics written by Native authors who can best describe our various tribal cultural histories and contemporary situations. Would you please share your views on this important topic?
Getting any of this work accepted, or even the opportunity to be read by a literary agent or an editor, the chances are very slim. Right now, the market in publishing is not very open to ideas that are Indigenous. I see that our philosophy doesn't jive with the obvious military-industrial society that we live in. And if anything, it challenges that. And I don't think publishers see a market for what we have to offer. I know I had one editor tell me, actually, she was an editor of a multicultural department in a major publisher, and she wrote me back and told me, is that really what it means to be an Indian, and with the idea about loving Mother Earth? And really, she wrote, isn't that quite simple? Isn't that too simple a response to give to a child, that because people don't love the Earth, they can be so cruel? That's the kind of mentality that we're dealing with in publishing, generally speaking. And yet, we also know that from our travels and your travels, that there are people who want to have these ideas shared with them through writers like ourselves and through artists. They want to experience this, but they're being denied that by the current situation in publishing right now, which is the idea is to make a lot of money. But if everything's done in a good way, that's the way we feel, that won't be a problem. It will just be done the way it's supposed to be done. So we write because, and I know I write because that was part of my vision, it's part of what I am. I teach, but I'm a writer. And that's my purpose, and I have faith in that, and I have faith in our beliefs that the time will come when the door will be opened, and I will be able to provide that need to the stories that I'm still writing. Thank you.
My friend, as you were commenting a moment ago about why perhaps Native writers who speak the truth are not, quote, marketable today, I think another aspect of that is because America, mainstream America, does not want to hear the truth. They do not want to be reminded that Indigenous peoples, those of us who are now called Native Americans or American Indians or First Nations, are still here. And that when they do meet a Native writer who writes and speaks the truth, it is something that really scares a lot of mainstream American editors and publishers, and I think even mainstream people who buy the books and magazines, because as a result of, say, Hollywood movies and as a result of some of the literature that was published primarily by non-Native writers over the years, white people's image about who we are and what we're supposed to be is very different from, in many cases, what is our contemporary reality. And I know when I teach in universities, as I do, as you do also, and I speak the truth, especially cultural history, American history, students and faculty get very afraid and uptight to really hear the genuine truth. So I think it goes a little bit deeper than just not being marketable, but it goes into the psyche of America that if things aren't according to their image, it won't be listened to. Would you agree on that? And if so, would you share any more comments on my commentary?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I also feel that even among our own people, there's a resistance. It's even more than a resistance. It's a fear of acknowledging who we really are as Native Americans. And once somebody stands up and asserts that, they're often attacked. We have so many problems within our own people. That's why I feel like you say, if we write what is acceptable by the dominant society, if it's acceptable Indian to them, then it's okay, as long as it's something they can live with. But the truth is something that is very difficult for them to publish, make available for people to read. I think that our people need to step up and really consider what it really does mean to be an Indian. You hear about accusations about people masquerading as Indians, and written about this a lot, and I'll say it again, that if you're still quoting the Bible and you're still going to church, don't point your finger at somebody who's and say that they're masquerading as an Indian, and then turn around and put the tribe next to your name that identifies you when you believe a faith that is not of your own people, when you believe in a faith that has been used to commit genocide and to destroy our Mother Earth. I also feel that if you can don an American uniform and call yourself an American and serve in wars that are not our people's wars, then what is masquerading as an Indian? If we can put numbers on our dancing clothes and dance for money, then I wonder what is masquerading as an Indian. So we really need to look at these things. What I've been taught was that it's how we live, our spirituality, and it's the way we conduct ourselves and our lives and our perceptions of the world. And it's something you know in your heart. It's not something you carry around in your pocket as an ID card. It's something you are in your heart, and you know it, and you've been accepted by your own family in that regard. So these are the things that I worry about when it comes to our own people, and when it comes to the kind of ideas that Amy and I and Carissa, my son, is projecting through his art, that is not being made available, but yet there are ideas that certainly we need to have available for people.
The war against Mother Earth and the colonial conquest of indigenous peoples, lands, and waters still continues in this new millennium. Now, in the 21st century, many of us call this globalization. The cultural, spiritual life ways of Native peoples are still often disrespected by non-Native people's ignorance, racism, discrimination, and xenophobia towards Aboriginal peoples. There are still anti-Indian, white supremacist hate groups that target reservations. It is also important to acknowledge the history of religious intolerance and persecution of Native people's beliefs and ceremonies, especially by the Christian missionary system. The Christian Church is culpable in the genocide of millions of Native peoples in the so-called New World. It stems from the 1493 Inter Soterra Papal Bull issued by Pope Alexander VI. This Vatican decree sanctioned the conquest of all the lands and peoples of the non-white, non-Christian world. This official church doctrine has yet to be rescinded. There has yet to be, after 516 years, a formal papal apology to the indigenous peoples of the world who have been victimized by this Eurocentric foreign religion. Settler missionaries like the Spaniard Junipero Serra and the Englishman Reverend Elliot exemplify the evil of religious fanaticism. Missionaries were authorized by governments to so-called civilize us so-called savages. Missionaries throughout history brutally carried out efforts to, quote, kill the Indian in us, unquote. Native children were forcibly kidnapped, taken away to what is euphemistically termed boarding schools. They were prisons. Many were located on U.S. military forts. Indian children were beaten, sexually abused, forbidden to have contact with their family or tribe, prohibited to speak their native language, and severely punished if they practiced their traditional spiritual beliefs and ceremonies. Children were also forced to work many long hours in residential school enterprises that were very profitable for the clergy. The boarding school era has left a deep hurt for several generations of North American Indians. Alcoholism, drug abuse, domestic violence, dysfunctional families, and loss of culture is part of the legacy of this trauma inflicted on our native peoples. What hurts me deeply and what I do not understand is why many people, especially in the peace and social justice movement, can be so concerned about war, U.S. foreign policy, economic issues, human rights, and now global climate change. Why is it Americans, however, do not care about the many serious injustices suffered by Native American and other indigenous peoples throughout the world? Most Americans don't even know about what is going on in Indian country. What are the concerns and issues of contemporary Indian peoples? Sacred tribal territories continue to be desecrated, polluted, and destroyed by governments and multinational corporations. The greed for agricultural, water, energy, and natural resources has never been more abusive than it is now in 2009. It will only get worse in the future. Many anthropologists, archaeologists, art galleries, and non-tribal museums continue to exploit our fine arts, cultures, and histories for their professional careers and for profits. The looting of Native grave sites for sacred artifacts is a particularly egregious example. Nation-states across the globe continue to violate treaties, compacts, and agreements Native nations have had since first contact with, as we say in my Wabanaki language, the Wampisikatonk, meaning people from across the waters, the European settlers. 517 years since Christopher Columbus washed ashore in the Western Hemisphere has been long enough. It is time to have our human rights of sovereignty and self-determination respected and recognized as equal members of the world community of nations. Would you please share your thoughts on what I have just expressed?
First thing that comes to my mind is people who do not learn their history are forever doomed to repeat it. The other idea that comes to my mind is this. I think that, if I can make this analogy or metaphor, that we are like cells on the earth, and we are either healthy living cells or we are a cancerous cell. And I think that among people there are cancerous cells. That the idea of cancer is that it consumes the vital organs of the body, it consumes what's healthy in the body and destroys the body. And that's the way people, whether they're from America or from Russia or from England or from France or from China, people with this mentality, or Korea or Iraq or Iran or anybody with this mentality, then becomes cancerous on the earth. They become those cells that destroy living organisms. And I think that we have mutated as human beings, and there are those of us that are of that cancerous mindset. I don't know if there's a cure for this. I know that I don't want to consider myself of that mentality, though we all have to live in this world and we all have to go along with some of the ideas in this world to live, what I see is that I don't know if there's a cure. I just know that as a cell that doesn't want to be cancerous, I want to produce what is good and beneficial to the earth and to humanity and to all life, and not produce something that can destroy. And that's a conscious choice. So I think that if we know about cancer, we know that eventually it turns on itself when there's nothing else and it dies. And I know that our beliefs will always be here because they're of the universe, they're of the natural balance and cycles of life. They will always be here. So our beliefs, and that's what we're a part of, will be a part of that spirit always. So we will never, never lose to this mentality. The horror is that what we see on a daily basis, the crap that's in the water, the anguish, the agony that the animals have to go through, the torture of the trees, all the good human beings that are closely related to them, that we see on an almost daily basis, that's the part that hurts so bad. I don't know if there is a cure for that. I just know that we have to maintain what is good in us and never surrender that. And that what is good in us is what is Indian in us. And that's what we must never surrender.
Where were you when we needed you, our friend? Where were you when we needed you to bend? And now you claim to be part Sioux or Cherokee. But where were you when we came close to the end? When our land was being stolen, you just stood by. When we were being massacred, you didn't even cry. When they put us on a reservation, you didn't lose any sleep. When we were starving half to death, you had enough to eat. So tell me, where were you when we needed you, our friend? Where were you when we needed you to bend? And now you claim to be part Sioux or Cherokee. But where were you when we came close to the end? When we had no voice, you never said a word. When we cried out to you, you never even heard. When our freedom was being denied, you never questioned why. When we needed help, somehow the well was always dry. So tell me, where were you when we needed you, our friend? Where were you when we needed you to bend? And now you claim to be part Sioux or Cherokee. But where were you when we came close to the end? So tell me, where were you when we needed you, our friend? Where were you when we needed you to bend? And now you claim to be part Sioux or Cherokee. But where were you when we came close to the end? So tell me, where were you when we needed you, our friend? Where were you when we needed you to bend? And now you claim to be part Sioux or Cherokee. But where were you when we came close to the end? So tell me, where were you?
Jara 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 j You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat K'tichi Native Center, write to Yat K'tichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat K'tichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you just heard prior to our Yat K'tichi Native Center program identification was a song by Nununkul Kunjil, an Aborigine band from the land down under, now called Australia. The name of their traditional song was Jara, meaning Mother Earth. Nununkul Kunjil gifted me their CD when they performed for an Aboriginal rights concert here in what's now called America. I featured their music as a reminder to our worldwide listeners that the abuse of colonial history, as well as the contemporary situation of Aborigines and Torres Strait Islanders, is very similar to the history and present-day situation of Native American peoples in North America. Aborigines' first sightings of European ships date to 1606, when Spanish navigator Luis Vaez de Torres sailed through the body of water that now bears his name, the Torres Strait. In the same year, a Dutch ship landed at Cape York. While there were other landings of white men onto Aboriginal homelands, 1770 is considered the historic arrival of British Royal Navy Captain James Cook, or as I call him, James Crook. January 18, 1787, a fleet of 11 English ships carrying some 1,500 people anchored at Botany Bay. As they say in English, the rest is history. The Aboriginal struggle for sovereignty and self-determination still continues to this day. The first song we played prior to our program identification was from Dakota singer-songwriter Floyd Red Crow Westerman, off his 2001 Red Crow Creation CD. Floyd Westerman sadly has passed away into the spirit world. He was best known for his film and television roles. Floyd Westerman, however, was a warrior for our Native peoples. Floyd was a cultural representative for the International Indian Treaty Council. He traveled widely throughout the world, performing concerts and speaking out in defense of Mother Earth and the rights of Indigenous peoples. In 1987, I had the honor to spend some time with Mr. Westerman when he was a featured artist for the African National Congress, American Indian Movement, National Tour in Solidarity to Free Nelson Mandela and Leonard Peltier. I served as a volunteer press secretary for the East Coast portion of that concert speaker tour, where we visited a number of U.S. cities. I sincerely want to thank my brother Gabe Horn for sharing his thoughts with us today on Wolf Mountain Radio. Please listen next time when we will have the honor to hear my conversation with Amy Krauthorn. We shall conclude today's program with a song by Native flutist Joseph Firecrow off his Mekoshe Music CD entitled Legend of the Warrior. The name of the song is My Elders Speak. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinoan Wan Takwasin, to all of our relations.